This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Week one may be over, but the season's just getting started at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. To kick off week two, DraftKings is giving all new customers a can't-miss offer. Just bet $1 on any football game this week and receive $200 in free bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps to receive $200 in free bets when you place a $1 bet on any football game. That's promo code FANRUN in all caps to get your $200 in free bets instantly this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older in Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.
It's time for The Drive's Top 5 at 5.
Quitting time on your Friday. Congratulations, you have made it. Another weekend is here. Russell Smith back with you. It's Fan Run Radio, and time for your Top 5 at 5, brought to you this afternoon by Citizens National Bank, the official bank of The Drive. Here once again, uninterrupted, Jake Miller.
Number one, Josh Heupel and staff have put themselves in position to land a four-star defensive back from the West Coast. Ephesians Prysock is the 28th ranked defensive back in the nation and stands 6'3", weighs in at 170 pounds. The Vols made his list and the only SEC to do so. His other four are Michigan, Oregon, USC, and UCLA. And we learned last hour that Casey Clawson, former quarterback, is his high school head coach.
So when you say a position to, like, what's the deal? Are we, is he visiting? Are we just a favorite? Is this to be, or are we, is he on commitment watch?
We made his top five. Haven't checked to see if he's scheduled to visit or has visited. We just know that we made the top five.
All right. We're in the top five, Bear.
I mean, we've got a, I feel like we've got a shot. I mean, I'm, you know, we're the only team that's not on the, you know, Pacific time that he's even got listed. I mean, the rest of those schools are all Pac-12, right?
No, Michigan.
Michigan. Okay.
Michigan.
He don't want to go to Michigan. You're a Southern California kid. You sure as hell don't want to go to Michigan.
No, I just asked Derek Green how that worked out.
Cold up there.
And number two, college football has a ton of lackluster games this weekend, but a few games of interest are on the slate as well. Auburn travels to Penn State as a 5-point underdog. Another top 25 game, Arizona State will travel to BYU as a 4-point favorite. And the only other top 25 matchup that we don't expect to be a game is Florida taking on Alabama.
Yeah. Well,
slim pickings this weekend.
Yeah, hopefully some of these games stand out. I'm looking forward to a couple of these. I will probably watch Georgia and South Carolina, even though that's not expected to be a game.
31-point favorite.
But Auburn-Penn State will be fun. We'll all watch Florida-Alabama because it's on. And obviously the Tennessee game. So, I mean, it does set up nicely from a schedule standpoint as a Tennessee fan. You get to watch good SEC games all the way through.
And number three, the New Orleans Saints will likely spend one more week practicing in Dallas before they return home to New Orleans following their week three game at New England. The Saints have spent the past 3 weeks in Dallas-Fort Worth after evacuating for Hurricane Ida on August the 28th.
Who do they play this week?
New England.
At New England?
Yeah.
And then they play one more game in Jacksonville? Or are they on the road again?
Don't know off the top of my head.
All right.
I'll have to go and look.
We'll figure it out. Yeah, I mean, they just kind of been put through the ringer, man. It's tough. Tough spot, but they looked good against Green Bay in week one, so we'll see if they can keep things rolling against Mac Jones and the Pats.
Might actually watch that one. And number four, this might stir up some controversy. LSU becomes the first SEC school to partner with a gambling company and agrees to a Caesars Sportsbook deal. LSU and Caesars Sportsbook announced Friday they have entered into a multi-year sponsorship agreement, making Louisiana's flagship university the first in the Southeastern Conference to enter a financial partnership with a gambling company.
So weird. I mean,
what could go wrong?
They also said there are no plans to place a sportsbook in Tiger Stadium or other LSU game venues included in the deal.
You know, I'm not sure if it's this way for all universities, but
I was talking to somebody who's an employee of athletics over there, and he said they cannot bet on FanDuel or any other gambling sites. Like they cannot gamble. Like that's, I don't know if they have to sign a thing or something, but that's just a rule.
Well, yeah, they'll shave points.
That's, yeah. Well, I mean, that's the, they have inside information theoretically. So that's kind of odd that LSU is bringing that close to their program. I wonder if other schools will follow suit.
I mean, does it surprise you with how corrupt that university is? Football team, basketball team.
Well, I'm thinking from their administration standpoint, if it's just sponsorship dollars and those rules are still there, look, even though we're taking this money, you still can't gamble and our players can't gamble. And like we're just going to be putting up a sign in our stadium and running some ads on the Jumbotron and stuff like that. I mean, I guess you can walk that line, but it is getting a more and more difficult line to walk.
And number five, guys, do not try to measure the length of your man parts by sticking a USB cord up your urethra.
What? What?
Yes.
What did you say?
A 15-year-old self-inserted a USB wire into his urethra and ended up needing whatever kind of surgery this is performed to get that bad boy out of there.
Major surgery, I would imagine.
What? I'm sorry. I wasn't.
I mean, Russ, that just hurts thinking about it.
He put what in his wiener?
Like an iPhone charger.
USB charger cord.
Why?
Urethra.
Like,
what did he tell the emergency room staff? Or nobody will ever really know why. Only he knows really why he did it.
And how?
As soon as I say that, I don't know. Look, I dated a nurse in my early 20s, and she worked at a local ER. And she used to tell me the craziest stories about it wasn't just the things that would wind up in spots where they didn't belong, but the stories that people would, you know, tell with a straight face.
What was his story?
I sat down on the couch naked, and somehow this baking potato ended up in my rectum. I'm not kidding you, man. She told me about that one.
Woo!
Just why?
Yeah, because then you're looking at, I'm trying to remember what she said, and I don't think it was like a 12 to 16 hour, like full on operation. Get that.
What did this guy say? What was his excuse for the cord in his man parts?
Doesn't give that information. HIPAA.
Yeah.
So don't be a moron this weekend. Don't go sticking a USB cord into your urethra.
I kind of feel like that's something that we really shouldn't have to tell our listeners.
It says, according to the story I'm looking at, that he was trying to
measure himself.
He's trying to measure himself.
Russ, I mean, there's other...
Has this kid not heard of a ruler?
Yeah, I mean, that was my first thought.
He wanted it electronically timed. It's like the hand timed 40-yard dash isn't good enough. He wants the electronic time as well. Down to the centimeter.
Anybody that's had any kind of surgery that's woken up with a catheter, if you're a male, and can tell you it's not a pleasant experience, bordering on excruciating.
Yeah, it's not.
That's not a fun experience.
Take your word for it. No thanks. I'll just die. That is the top 5 at 5. Brought to you.
You never had a catheter, Russ? Is this making you uncomfortable?
Yes. No, I've never had one. And yes, it's making me uncomfortable.
I mean, you can't. I mean, if you have to have one, you have to have one.
Not necessarily. Like I said, you can just die.
Yeah, you do. No, because you don't die. I mean, what ends up happening, you end up, I'll go ahead and put it out there on Front Street. I had to have one this summer after surgery. One of the drugs they used when they were sedating me for my surgery caused my urinary sphincter to seize, Russ. And then around midnight that night, God. They kept checking me. And then they rolled in the ultrasound machine. And I, much like you, Russ, was going to say, let's just wait. I think I'll be able to go to the bathroom. Then they had to have the doctor come in and explain to me what would happen if I kept waiting. Your bladder ruptures. Then you're looking at a major surgery, buddy. So, yeah, sometimes you don't have a choice. But luckily for me, I had a morphine pump and some really nice nurses. Mm. I hit that button about three times and just it was rock and roll. Mm. Still uncomfortable?
Yes, very.
You don't want to continue talking about my urethra on air?
Shout out to Hank Hill and his narrow urethra.
Is that that's the one where they had to use the pediatric device on you, wasn't it? That's what you told us earlier.
No, I don't believe it was.
I think Wes and Franklin pointed that out.
They just had to they had to crack the seal, so to speak.
They had to open the tea.
Open the tea.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm feeling squeamish.
Folks, we have open lines the rest of the way here this afternoon. It's a football Friday. Get your crown pick of the weekend at facebook.com/thedrivewithrussellsmith. Your score prediction, closest score prediction for the Vols at Tennessee Tech wins fabulous gifts and prizes courtesy of Crown Cleaners. Let's go back to the phones. 865-546-8200, your number to get on the G3 Help Me Hotline. Shout out to Jim Chaney. Saints announced coaches Jim Chaney, Declan Doyle, Phil Gaiano, Curtis Johnson, Brandon Nugent, Dan Ruchart, and Joel Thomas will not be in attendance at Sunday's game due to COVID-19 protocols.
Worry about Chaney on that one.
Yeah, I hope he's well.
Yeah, I hope he's vaccinated. Big people don't fare real well with COVID.
Jamie is next. Good afternoon, Jamie.
Freaking 50 seconds on hold. Thank you, gentlemen.
We didn't want to make you wait through the break. We'll get you right to the front of it. I told you I had open lines, man.
Russ, if you guys are ever curious if it feels good to be completely 100% endorsed by the good mayor, it does. It does.
By the way, I skipped over TJ, the Kentucky fan. He was actually in front of you. TJ, hold right there. We have you. We're going to get to you, TJ. That's my bad. I'm sorry.
That's all right, Kentucky. You take a back seat. That's all right,
Kentucky. Oh, wow. That's uncalled for. That's uncouth. That's unnecessary.
That's Jamie for you. Guys, I don't really have a lot today. I just the last couple of days, I just want to say, hey, man, we're all on the same side. We just want to see Tennessee do well. I'm not calling for anybody's head. But Russ, you did say you probably won't know up into year two. But I always like to try to bring you back to a little bit of reality. If he goes, 11-1 this year, you're not going to wait till the middle of year two to say we've got a winner. It's just if he doesn't perform well in year one, you're going to wait to say he's not. Would that be fair?
Well, you could. This first year is going to be so weird for him. If he falls on his face, if we go on some sort of epic losing streak, we don't win a conference game. Yeah, I'm going to have some major reservations. If Vanderbilt beats us, yeah, it's I'm going to have some major questions. I don't know if they fire him at that point, but. It's going to be an ugly situation. Other hand, if you beat Missouri and South Carolina and either one of Ole Miss and Kentucky, you have yourself a nice 7 or 8 win season. It doesn't necessarily mean that he's going to work out. So that's why I say, you want to see more than one season before you really start to form an opinion on such a young coach with such a small track record.
Yeah, I'm with you 100%, Russ. It's going to be, you know, Sands 1-11 or 11-1. It's going to be tough to gauge in year one. Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you, guys. I don't have much. I just wanted to get in and not butt heads with y'all today. A lot of respect for my favorite radio show announcers, you too, Barry.
Appreciate it, Jamie.
But guys, on the way out, I'll just hit you with this. I'll be quick. Sorry, TJ. There was a young man on Twitter, Alabama fan, I believe. He experienced a loss earlier in the week. I think it was his pops. And there's a lot of UT fans on there just, you know, being gracious. And that's so cool to be a part of that kind of a fan base. But I'll tell you something I noticed in his bio that made it kind of stick out to me. And I love this, and I'm sure you guys will too, especially you, Bear. It was a quote by Nick Saban. I don't know if y'all happen to see it, but it was a real simple one-liner. It said, "Good is the enemy of great." What do you think about that?
Could quite possibly be the most miserable human being on the planet.
Yeah, but the quote.
That's a good quote. I mean, it's what's the other thing he says? High achievers don't like being around low achievers, vice versa. He's not wrong.
Maybe that's why I can't stand to be around them buffoons we keep hiring. Hey, y'all hang in there. Be safe this weekend. Looking forward to tomorrow's voluntary. Thanks again for y'all doing that. Be safe.
Bear, I think that's as close to an apology as we're ever likely to get from Jamie.
Probably feel pretty good about that, even getting that out of him.
A kinder, gentler Jamie today on The Drive. Stay with us. We'll get TJ, the Kentucky fan, in here as soon as we continue. Lines available for you as well. 865-546-8200. Back with more after this. Fan Run Radio, The Drive continues. Let's talk to TJ, the Kentucky fan, up next on the G3 Help Me Hotline. Good afternoon, TJ.
Hey, what's up, fellas? How y'all doing?
What's up? What's up?
Hey, week three, game day, we made it to Friday again. Who y'all got tomorrow?
The mighty Golden Eagles of Tennessee Tech.
Oh, that's not bad, eh? Who y'all, because y'all, of course, Tennessee fans, you hate Florida and Alabama there both, but who you got now?
I mean, Tennessee fans just rooting against the structural integrity of the stadium.
Yeah.
I guess at that point, TJ.
Rooting for the orthopedic staff to get in a serious overtime.
I don't know. I just hope I don't want to see Florida get any confidence since Tennessee plays down there next week. So for me, I would just like to see them struggle and continue to have a quarterback quandary and just generally look inept.
I think y'all are in a bad position there because if Alabama comes out and whoops them, they're going to be pissed off next week. But if Florida comes out and beats Bama, like you said, they're going to have the confidence the following week as well.
Oh, yeah. Well, Tennessee.
Here's the deal. Florida ain't beating Alabama. That ain't happening.
We do not want that. Do not need that. I don't think it's going to happen, but, yeah, that would not be good news for Tennessee. TJ, what's going on with you, man? Is COVID just wrecking you? You sound rough, bro.
Oh, yeah, man. It's COVID. It wrecked me like the 15-year-old hot dog challenge, it sounds like. it tore me up, but we're getting through it. Hey, one more question. Do you guys think y'all are going to mess around and pull off the upset against Tennessee Tech tomorrow?
No, get out of here, you knucklehead. TJ, the Kentucky fan. All right, keep running that mouth, TJ. I know you're looking good. Kentucky's 2-0. Got yourself a quarterback. Finally got some offense to go along with that defense. And all of a sudden, you guys think you're big time. Think you're ready for big time, big boy football. Long time between now and November when the big orange rolls in there, okay? Yeah, we're working through some things right now. We got some issues. We got some problems, some things we're trying to address. But we got what? At least five games before we play Kentucky?
Yeah. I mean, if it follows the normal pattern, they're liable to have a bunch of people hurt between now and then.
And just be a little careful before you go running that mouth towards Tennessee fans. Just saying. 865-546-8200, your number, 546-8200, if you want to jump in here this afternoon on The Drive. Russell LeBaire with you. Jake Miller will greet you as you call in this afternoon. It's going to be fun to see. It's going to be fun to see our guys hopefully get a little confidence. Now, if it's not fun to see, if it's agonizing to see, if it is hard to see tomorrow, then maybe we got problems. Bear? Yeah,
we'll have more than problems.
I mean,
five alarm fire going on here in town next week.
Yeah, I don't know. We might have to take Heupel out to a tarmac somewhere. You lose to Tennessee Tech, team that got shut out by Furman last week.
Good God Almighty.
But I don't think it's going to happen.
I hope not.
I don't think it's going to happen. I think Tennessee rolls tomorrow. And hopefully, you know, I already gave you my five things we want to see. Really, I think most fans – if you're asking for them just one thing, they want some clarity on this quarterback thing. Nobody expects Tennessee to be great this season. But right. After 4 years of subpar quarterback play, I think that they just want some clarity here. If it's Milton, fine. If it's Hooker, fine. If it's Bailey, fine. But the uncertainty of it all, I think, is wearing on Tennessee fans' nerves right now.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's been wearing on us for 12 years now.
Well, I'm just talking about the quarterback thing specifically. I mean, we've had some good quarterback play sprinkled in there. But
Josh Dobbs.
Yeah. So, like, four years of poor QB play, fans thought that it might be fixed this year, and it still might be, but through two games, it's looking a little bit iffy. Let's get Koval in here next. Good afternoon, Koval. You're on The Drive.
What's up there, W?
Hey, man. How you doing?
Oh, good, man. Hope you, Bear, and Jake Miller are doing good.
Doing fantastic, sir. Thank you.
All this urethra talk just, you know, kind of made me think about my quarterly hair dryer up.
Oh. Well, this show's in the gutter. Like my bowling game, man. We're rough.
Yeah, I had to upgrade
your urethra and you, Russ.
Oh, you guys are crazy. So what do we think about our quarterback situation? Well, I mean, let's just put the cards on the table. What do we really truly think is going to happen going forward?
I think Milton's going to – I don't know that he's going to turn it around and be like Jamarcus Russell at LSU in 2006, 2007, whenever that was, that he had that great season. But I think he's going to get it going enough to where he can be your starter. And some fans are just going to chirp about it, because I don't think he's a great player, but I think he's the best that we got on campus, and I think they're going to get him going enough to where he's just sort of the guy, and it's just a, you know, how good can they get him? How good can those coaches make him? I think that's, if I had to guess, where this is headed.
Because, I mean, supposedly Heupel is the quarterback whisperer, so, I mean, maybe some stuff's rubbing off to where Milton does get it, or – Hooker, or, I mean, are we going to see Bailey this weekend? What do you think?
Well, I mean, you should be able to see all three, because is not a good football team that's coming in here tomorrow. And you should be able to get up on them quickly and play all three, I would think. So hopefully you get a good sample size. And the like I said, you know, the best thing coming out of it, aside from a beatdown, is, hey, Milton got going. This thing is settled now. He's our quarterback, and go down to Gainesville and let the pieces fall where they may.
What if Bailey comes in and throws 10 for 12, 150 yards, three touches, no picks? Then what's the conversation?
Well, it depends on what the other guys do. If the other guys struggle, or you know, they kind of look what they are, and Milton's about a 50% passer and struggles to complete the deep balls, and Hooker's struggling to complete deep balls, then I think Bailey's your guy. But if they all look that good against an outmanned Tennessee Tech team, I don't know that it changes anything.
Yeah, you can't take anything from that. I get that. So basically, we can't get much from this game. It's just how do we perform against a scrimmage team and just let the chips fall where they go.
Yep, you're judging yourself against yourself and whatever your own standard is.
I got you, man. You guys have a great weekend. Talk to you soon.
Koval with a closet full of Vidal Sassoon hair dryers ready to go for a nice warm weekend. How does that strike you, Bear?
I fully expect one day us to be talking about when we're, you know, one of our bizarre stories that a man in the region has set himself on fire inappropriately using a hairdryer at bedtime.
It's very dangerous. Stay with us. The Drive continues. More of your phone calls coming up.
The Drive. The Volunteer.
Don't ever lose that, Jake Miller. Don't let anybody shame you for that.
Roger that.
Your accent is beautiful. Got a couple of interesting high school games, a bunch of interesting high school games in the area tonight. You had the Battle of Dutchtown Road, Webb at CAK tonight. Both teams 2-1. Battle of West Knoxville private schools. How about Jake's Campbell County High School, 4-0.
Number 10 in the state, buddy.
Ooh.
Yeah, buddy.
Playing host to the Beavis of Carnes. Cougars Beavers tonight. Should up there, win. Campbell County.
Should be a win.
Anderson County's at South Doyle. South Doyle's 4-0 this year. I know Heupel was over there earlier today. Scouting maybe, is it the Gary kid over there, running back? Are we looking at him? Maybe?
I believe so.
Mm-hmm. See, Alcoa at Pigeon Forge. Maryville at Bearden. It'll be a beatdown.
Oof. Bearden's got a really good defense.
Sevier County at West. Mighty Rebels, 4-0.
Look for them to move to 5-0. Sevier County
Fulton
not
at
have a whole
Gibbs.
Lot.
That was last that night, was wasn't
a,
it?
Yeah.
Who won that?
Fulton put the smack down on him.
Oak Ridge at Lenoir City.
I go with Oak Ridge on that one.
Clinton at Powell.
Powell.
Full week of high school football action here in East Tennessee. Let's get Andy in here next. Andy, you're on the Drive Fan Run Radio.
Good afternoon, boys. How we doing?
Doing well. Thank you.
All right. I've been thinking about this for probably about a week now, and I'm getting kind of tired of talking about UT. With the current situation, I'm sure I'll be back on board here in a couple of weeks. But just kind of we beat the same scenario to death this week. So I thought now might be a good time to bring it up. Have you guys, I don't know if it's just me, but have you guys felt this at all where I've been watching quite a bit of football so far this year just because last year just wasn't the same to me with the COVID restrictions. I feel like the quality of football across the board has went down. And I don't know if it's COVID or transfer portal, but I feel like the quality of play has went down with the matchups and everything.
Interesting. How so? I mean, just like offense, defense not physical enough? Like what's different about it to you?
Everything seems lopsided in most of the games. I don't feel like I'm witnessing near as many close matchups. Not very many surprises for me, you know.
We had a great game with Notre Dame and FSU to open the. Are you talking college football wide or just Tennessee?
Being Florida particular? State's been in two barn burners.
Yeah,
college football wide across the board. I feel like in Florida State. Are they the one that they were close in that game, they end up losing, didn't they lose to somebody bad last week too? I mean,
yes.
Yeah. Yeah, they did. Notre Dame's probably not as good as I mean, there've been some, I feel like, some really good games.
Yeah,
far.
I think so too. I mean, it just depends on where you're looking. Wisconsin Penn State was a very good game in week 1, and then this
mind-numbingly boring, but it was a good game.
I don't think so. I mean, there was the second half
football.
The second half was very entertaining.
That's it.
The LSU UCLA game that opening weekend was very good, and then the Clemson Georgia was highly competitive, a low scoring affair. I think there have been some fun games to watch so far. It's early, 2 weeks, but to your point, Andy, I think they are going to have to. You know, I was reading The Athletic today, and they were talking about how the Alliance is talking about the Big Ten, the Pac-12 scheduling more games together, more intersectional games, which kind of speaks to what the TV networks think about the strength of those leagues, top to bottom, relative to the SEC, where we're almost assuredly going to a 9-game conference schedule in the very near future and presumably going to be frozen out a little bit of some of these non-conference matchups with the other schools. We'll see if they follow through on that. But, it's just different. I mean, you get more blowouts in college than you do the NFL, and that's one of the reasons that a lot of people, I think we're all in agreement around this program about these FCS games, they're for the birds, man. They got to go. It's pointless. It's a waste of everybody's time, and nobody's excited about what's happening tomorrow, which is why you're going to see about 60,000 people over there. If that.
Yeah, I think I echo that sentiment. I think they're really boring. I think this weekend, I think, is the first weekend where there are some matchups that do intrigue me a little more. But, I mean, especially that Georgia-Clemson game, I think maybe I just got off on the wrong foot, because watching that game was like watching paint dry to me. It was just so boring. Nobody hardly scored until he just slips up and makes one mistake, and then I'm not really convinced they were the better team just because of the one little mistake. It wasn't – I mean, they lost, don't get me wrong, but, I mean, it's like, come on. And then, like, even – this weekend is better, but I mean, you got like some intriguing matchups to me would be like Michigan State, Miami. I think Michigan State could really do something in that. I like that Cincinnati, Indiana game. I mean, of course, you got Bama, Florida, but Bama probably gonna, in my opinion, take care of business in that game.
I'm looking forward to seeing if Christopher Gabriel's Fresno Bulldogs can pull the upset against UCLA in the Rose Bowl. I've kind of got that one on upset special watch.
Really? Especially after mentioning that UCLA game early, I would think you would favor UCLA in that. But you like the Bulldogs there?
I think they're good. Keep in mind, Fresno took that Oregon team that just won at Ohio State to the limit, probably should have won that game in week one.
Yeah.
And they just trounced somebody at home. Their quarterback is really good. So I've got that one. I'm watching it. Got it circled.
You think Fresno State's going to beat the Bruins?
Maybe it's just I'm just worried about with the transfers and having a COVID year and everything. I don't know. It seemed like first couple of weeks here for me have been more of a lull. This is my first week of really seeing some matchups I want to see. So, I don't know. Maybe I'm alone in that one, but that's the way I felt about it. Thanks for taking my call, guys.
Thank you, Andy. Appreciate it. 865-546-8200. I'm telling you, we had that kid on Fresno State. We had their quarterback on our roster right now. We'd be 2-0, and this fan base would be talking about, we're going to go down to the swamp and put 50 on them.
Yep.
Is he better than the kid from Pittsburgh?
Very similar. Hmm. Very similar. And it just underscores, if Heupel can't find a guy on this year's team, if it's not Milton, if it's not Hooker, if it's not Bailey, there's going to be options like that, you know, in the transfer portal again next year.
And we got Taven Jackson coming in.
Yeah. So I think he can flip that room pretty quickly if one of these guys doesn't step up and just sort of make that position his own. Portions of our show brought to you by our friends at FanDuel. Week 2 of the NFL is here. We're getting that risk-free bet rolling over at FanDuel. All customers get a risk-free bet for Week 2 of the NFL season. What is your fancy? Are you a money line guy? Are you an over-under guy? Are you prop bets, or do you do the same game parlays? Whatever it is, head on over to FanDuel, where you've got plenty of betting options over there. And you can take part. What do you think about the Browns? 13-point favorites at home over the Texans, who Jordan DeGianni, very high on the Houston Texans. Can they cover an enormous spread on the road at Cleveland, who looked pretty good and is probably going to be pretty mad coming out this weekend, you would think?
Yeah, I mean, we'll find out whether or not the Texans just look good last week, or I don't know, man. That's an awfully big spread in the NFL to be covering.
I like the Texans to cover there. I like the Rams to cover 3.5 at Indianapolis, and I like the Buffalo Bills to cover 3.5 at the Miami Dolphins. What do you like? Check it out over at FanDuel. Get your bets in. Use our promo code DRIVE1 so they know we sent you. Get that risk-free bet up to $1,000 back even if you don't win. That's promo code DRIVE1. Got to be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max refund $10. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-9789. We're going to take a quick break. Final segment of The Drive coming up. Speak now, forever hold your peace. 865-546-8200. Back to wrap things up after this. Fan Run Radio, The Drive continues, wrapping up Friday afternoon edition of the show, getting you ready for overtime, headed your way next from 6 until 8 on many of these fine Fan Run affiliates. Oh, man, outstanding program this afternoon. Thanks to everybody called in, making it possible today. Guys, just sort of wrapping up, putting the finishing touches on things. Bear?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I want to see? What do you want to see tomorrow?
Yeah, buddy, how you doing?
I want to see a dominating defensive performance. I want to see a lot of guys get to play and come out of there without any injuries. Stay healthy.
Just make it through without any injuries at all.
Yeah, no injuries. Just have a good day and take care of business. There's just not a whole lot that you can really, and that's why I hate these games so much. I mean, the only thing I didn't like about last week's game was, other than, was just the kickoff time and then the fact that we lost and should have won.
Mm-hmm. Final segment brought to you by Les Turner, Right Approach Financial. You got any questions about financial planning, investing, saving for retirement? Call Les Turner at Right Approach Financial. It's never too soon. It's never too late to start planning for your financial future. Do the responsible thing and give Les a call at 865-498-3047. That's 865-498-3047, or just visit rightapproachfinancial.com. Jake, what do you want to see? Your final wish, hope, dream for tomorrow?
Really, just keep it clean.
Keep it clean.
Don't hurt anybody. Make a couple big plays and then just revert back to quick slants, bubble screens.
See, this is what I'm talking like. People talk about Tennessee fans being so unrealistic. They, at the end of the day, they're asking for so little. Bear just wants to see his team play a game without getting hurt. Jake just wants to see a team play a game without getting a bunch of penalties called on him. That's all they want. They don't even say win the game. They just want the simple things. Just the simple things in life.
I mean,
that's
I'm not
all
expecting
we,
much tomorrow.
That's all we ask for.
Set your expectations low, and when you exceed those expectations, life is good.
Spoken like a true Tennessee fan. Let's get Roger in here. Roger, you're on the Drive Fan Run Radio. Good afternoon, sir.
Hey, everybody. How's everybody doing tonight?
Doing well. How's it going, Raj?
Going fine, Russ. I just want to ask you first about the game. You talking about what you want to see. I just wanted to ask you about that, but I just want to ask you, Russ. I don't pay for it. I just want to ask you, you too, Bear. I'm thinking answer or not, but I don't play for it. That's why I just want to ask you if you Heupel, the coach, and you want trying to focus on the game right here and not look ahead. How you keep your team focused and not looking if you Heupel? How you keep your team focused and play well and keep your mind on the game and not look ahead? You know what I'm saying? How you do that? How you do that? If you Heupel, how you keep your team focused and not look ahead? You know what I'm saying? Look ahead. Look ahead and play well. You know what I'm saying?
That's probably the hardest part about this weekend is this year's team, you know, a lot of these guys are they're looking to make plays and get their, you know, to make a mark so they can get playing time later on. I don't think we're gonna have a problem with that with this team.
Okay. How about you, Russell? You think your team is smart enough now to stay focused? You think we can do that tomorrow? Be focused, look ahead, think that's good. You think can do that?
I think it's interesting, Raj. One thing that we haven't talked about today that Heupel talked about again yesterday was the whole. You got to be focused in the 48 hours leading up to the game, which obviously I don't know what happened. Like if guys were throwing like a party or something last Friday night or hung over for game day. Like, I don't know. But evidently he was not happy with the time leading up to the game. And so that's something he's been harping on all week long. So hopefully that results in the team coming out focused. I mean, it's, truth be told, is probably going to be hard to get up to play Tennessee Tech in front of what I'm anticipating is going to be about a half-empty stadium at a 12 noon kickoff. But but if you have their attention and they are prepared at noon, then hopefully, like Bear's saying, you can make short work of them and then get a bunch of backups in and get them some meaningful reps.
Yeah, I hear you. I don't Florida play Alabama. I just want to ask you how you think they compete with Alabama for a while. You think in the game tomorrow afternoon?
I don't. And I've heard several of our guests this week, including Trey, think that Florida might be able to hang with them for a half, maybe even into the fourth quarter before Bama ultimately pulls away. I don't think they can hang, Bear. I think Florida is getting housed tomorrow. I think it's going to be funny.
I agree 100%.
I don't like Alabama, but they house everybody, so who cares? They're not even playing college football. It's just sort of this stupid thing that we all pretend is I don't even know what we're pretending with them anymore. But you know, we're going to get trucked by Alabama later in the year. Florida gets to get trucked by Alabama tomorrow, and it's I'm for one am here for it.
Okay, I hear you. So what the key? Last I have, what's the key for Florida? I know you don't want to play anybody good, but what's key for Florida to be able to? What's the key for Florida? You think is y'all for in the game for
brace yourself. Brace yourself. Prepare for impact. I don't know. Is it Bear?
I don't know that there's anything they can do.
Really good quarterback play. If Anthony Richardson just takes that job and runs with it, has kind of a Johnny Manziel type performance. Remember when they beat A&M down there a couple of years ago? Just runs around as unstoppable, and they can stay in a shootout. Like that's their hope. But I don't think they can do that. So that probably means Florida wins and is going to have all sorts of momentum and positive vibes heading into their game with us, and we'll be about a 20-point underdog for what my predictions are worth. Thank you, Raj. Appreciate the phone call. All right, boys, wrapping up, how about this super hot take from Brando on Twitter? Sully McDermott or the UCF walk-on play before Harrison Bailey does Saturday and Vol Twitter goes in shambles?
I mean, that would definitely do it. So who all, if we all given our, I haven't given my prediction yet.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead. Give your prediction, Bear.
I'm going to go with Tennessee 52, Tennessee Tech 6.
So I said 52-3. You're going 2 field goals or a touchdown, a missed extra point, or 3 safeties?
2 field goals.
Jake?
Let's go
56-3. 56-3. All right. Everybody predicting a beatdown. We'll see what transpires tomorrow at noon in Neyland. We're going to get on out of here. Y'all have a great weekend. Thank you, Bear. Thank you, Jake.
Thank you.
Overtime headed your way next. We will do it again Monday right here on Fan Run Radio. Have a great weekend.